Hello, this is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. You can also listen to us online at kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around town? The guy grinding the beans at Better Living Through Coffee. That smiling cashier at the co-op. What about the kids wiping down your car at the car wash? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Port Townsend. We're not necessarily talking to the big shots around town. We're talking with real people, with real lives, people with mortgages and garbage bills, people who walk their dogs early and late, people who sometimes yell at their kids, but only under extreme duress, of course. We'll talk to foodies and firefighters, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living and working in Port Townsend. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people. Your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today we're going to talk with Dr. Molly Parker, one of the primary care physicians at Jefferson Healthcare. Most of us only see doctors under the worst of circumstances, when we're sick and crabby. Oddly, we don't tend to see doctors as people with lives of their own. We expect or hope that the doctor can help us, but we really don't think about the doctor's life. But doctors are people too, and today we're going to find out about the life of one of Port Townsend's primary care physicians. Welcome to the show, Dr. Parker. Let's start at the beginning. Are you a Port Townsend native?
No, I'm not. I grew up in Wisconsin.
Were you in a big city?
No, I grew up in a town of 2,500. I actually lived about 4 miles outside of town, and the town itself was one of the biggest towns in the county. So wow. It was a fairly rural place.
And were you on a farm?
I was. I grew up on a small dairy farm where my dad milked the cows and the goats, and he also built furniture, and then my mom was a French teacher.
Wow. So how many cows and goats might be around at any given time?
Well, it depended on the stage in my parents' life. So we had a lot of goats at one point, up to 21, I think, was the most. And then the cows, it was a pretty small farm. It was about 10 cows.
Well, did you learn how to milk cows at a young age? Was that part of your upbringing?
I did. We had chores we had to do in the morning and at night. And my job wasn't to milk the cows. We had an electronic milker, and it was a little too heavy for me to lift when I was little. So I raised the rabbits and fed the chickens, and pigs were one of my jobs as well. I ended up being one of the championship pig showers for our county.
Really?
When I was in junior high.
Really? Mm-hmm. Cool. And did that mean you raised the pigs from when they were babies until they were giant?
Yeah, we would raise them for meat. I would buy them as a piglet in the spring and raise them through the summer and show them at the fair in the fall and then auction them off at the county fair.
Huh. One of the things I've always wondered when I've gone to fairs and I've seen the kids with the animals is, do you get real attached to them? Is it hard to sell them?
No, it's not. We first moved to the farm when I was 4. My parents sat us down and told us that we were going to be raising animals to eat and that that was part of being on a farm. And so they prepped us to be aware of that. One story my dad tells is of my aunt coming to visit us one of the first summers we were on the farm. And she was looking at all the pigs and the rabbits, and she said, "Oh, and you have some cats and dogs." And my little sister, who was 2 at the time, said, "Oh, but we don't eat the cats and dogs." So we were well prepared for
you
that.
You knew all about it. Huh? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned your sister. Are there just the 2 of you, or do you have other brothers and sisters?
There are 4 of us. I'm the oldest of 4. I have 2 brothers and a sister.
Okay. And when you were growing up on the dairy farm, is that something that you could see yourself going into, or did you always think, no, I don't want to do that?
It was a great way to grow up, to have 40 acres to run around on, but it was a lot of work for my parents, and they couldn't take vacations. Cows don't take vacations. So it wasn't anything I aspired to. I wanted a different lifestyle for myself, but boy, I'd love to give it back to my kids again if that was ever to work out.
So when you went to school, you mentioned it was a small town. Did you have to take a bus to get in there?
I did. I mostly took a bus to and from school, but my mom, she started being a French teacher when I was about in second grade. She would drive us in.
Oh, so you could commute with your mother. That probably made it a bit simpler.
It did. And then in the spring and fall, when it was still warm, sometimes we'd bike into school.
Uh-huh. And so was the high school also local, or was that further away?
It was local. It was right in town.
And when you were in high school, I mean, some people have an idea from when they're very young what they want to do when they grow up, and other people don't. Where did you fall on that continuum?
Well, I did know what I wanted to do, but it wasn't to be a doctor. So I think from eighth grade on, I decided I wanted to be a librarian, but then I never really followed that path.
Was there a librarian that you admired or something? What made you think of librarian as a job?
Good question. My grandma was a librarian. Ah. And she was a librarian for Milwaukee County. And I always admired her a great deal. She traveled a lot and she knew a lot of things. And she was just an incredible independent woman. When she retired from her job, they had to hire three people to replace her. She did a good job.
Wow. So in high school, everyone is defined as something by the other kids, not necessarily by themselves. Where would people say you fell? Were you a jock? Were you a geek? What were you?
Definitely in the geek category. I was voted most organized.
Most organized,
class.
Well. Yep. Well, there's something to be said for that, although in high school I'm not sure that's valued as much as it is later in life. Yes. So you were going to be a librarian, so did you apply to universities that had that specialty?
No, I went to a liberal arts school where I could really, you know, explore a lot of options, and so I went to Lawrence University in Wisconsin. Appleton, Wisconsin.
And what degree did you get?
I got a bachelor's in biology and in French, and then I got certified to teach high school in both of those fields as well.
And did you actually start teaching there?
I didn't. So right after college, I worked in a molecular biology lab in Madison, Wisconsin for a year, and then I took a year to travel and work in a lab in Paris. My French.
That's good.
Yeah.
Your French actually came in handy.
It did.
Not everyone does that. Well, so how did you ultimately end up in the Pacific Northwest?
So my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, came out to Seattle to go to the Jackson School at the University of Washington. He got a master's in Russian political science there. Hmm. And he did that while I was in France. I moved here after I came back.
Mm-hmm. And did you get a job or did you start school again? What?
Both. So I worked all the way through my graduate school career, and I ended up doing molecular biology at the University of Washington, working mostly on breast cancer research.
Interesting.
And then at the same time, I did the prereqs for medical school and also got a master's in public health in maternal and child health.
Well, it sounds like you were sort of straddling a couple of different things at that point.
I had a tough time deciding what to do. I enjoyed so many different things that picking took a while.
Yeah, well, and so you could have become a researcher, a medical researcher. You could have. What made you decide to become a doctor?
Well, after I got my master's in public health, I worked for a year with 21 of the community health centers in King County working on diabetes projects, trying to improve their quality systems. And I really enjoyed the work, but it took me to a lot of meetings and to meet administrators and people who made change, but I didn't get to work with the actual people who had diabetes or work with the people we were trying to help. And that was when I decided I really did want to be in a room sitting face-to-face with the people I was trying to help. So that's when I applied to medical school.
And did you apply to a number of different medical schools, or were you...
I did, and was lucky enough to get into the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, how long does it take to go to medical school? Although you had some degrees already, I mean, how long is the process?
So after 4 years of undergraduate, then you do 4 years of medical school, and then residency follows. And that depends on the specialty you pick. For family medicine, it was 3 years. I did another year after that of fellowship, so a total of 8 years for medical school plus 4 years undergrad.
Wow, that's a lot. And most people end up with a fair amount of student loans.
Yes.
After that.
Yes.
Yeah, a long path. But tell me, primary care, there's a huge need for primary care doctors, but there seems to be a lack of primary care doctors. What made you pick that specialty over, let's say, breast cancer, where obviously you had spent some time in research?
Right. I picked family medicine for a number of reasons. One, as you can tell, I have a hard time deciding on just one thing, and I like to do a lot of different things. So I would get to take care of babies and adults and people as they were dying and just help them through their whole life course. It's appealing to me to get to know people really well and have that relationship over time, and family medicine affords that perfectly. The other reason is I really wanted to return to a rural place to raise my family. And if you're a specialist, you're really needed in the cities. There isn't enough business in a small town for you to be. So even it's hard to have a pediatrician in a town this size who just does pediatrics. So it made sense to be a family doctor based on where I wanted to live.
And so you had decided you wanted to go to a rural area. Did you immediately, well, wait a minute, let's talk about the fellowship first, because I think you also spent some time overseas.
I did. So after I finished my three-year residency, then I got a job in New Zealand working as a primary care doctor there for a year. I went over with my husband and my daughter, who was 10 months old at the time.
So New Zealand has socialized medicine, basically, and now you're operating in a non-socialized medicine area. This is a huge subject, but could you just sort of briefly outline what you see as the fundamental differences from a doctor's perspective?
Sure. The primary difference was access to care and worry about that access to care. When I was in New Zealand, everybody knew they were going to be able to see their doctor. They knew exactly how much it would cost. They knew how much their medications would cost. They knew how much the labs would cost. And it was very inexpensive. Most medications were $3 for a 90-day supply. Here, that I can't answer that question of cost for most of my patients. And if they don't have insurance, access to see a primary care doctor can be hard, although we're very lucky in this community that Jefferson Healthcare supports us seeing people who are uninsured. It's also difficult for specialty care here compared to elsewhere. That said, everybody talks about the wait times with socialized medicine, and that's real. My patients in New Zealand did have to wait sometimes 6 months to 12 months for a hip replacement. And that's a long time to wait when you've decided that that's something you want to do.
True. You're listening to KPTZ FM 91.9. This is Marianne McNellis. The show is Our Town. We're talking with Dr. Molly Parker from Jefferson Healthcare. She's just been talking a bit about the difference from a doctor's perspective of socialized medicine, where she worked in New Zealand for a while, and our system here in the States. What about paperwork between the two countries? I mean, is there a big difference for you?
There's a huge difference. Here, I have to justify everything I do and keep track from a malpractice standpoint as well. So the paperwork I have is quite a bit more significant. In addition, we have to bill the insurers. There are just more forms, authorizations for medications, authorizations for referrals. In New Zealand, that was just all part of the system. You knew who you could refer to, and so you referred them to the people who were available. So it didn't take nearly as much time. And for me to write a chart note there was much simpler than here.
So I know this is probably difficult to answer, but could you just guesstimate how much time you spend one-on-one dealing with the patient versus how much time you're spending on this paperwork and chart notes and authorizations?
So it's about one-to-one. So for every hour I spend with patient care, I spend another hour doing the paperwork and administrative side of my job.
Wow, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That really is. Well, Jefferson Healthcare is the biggest medical system in the county. Do you have an idea how many people are involved, how many doctors and other staff, nurses?
There are about 20. I didn't get a chance to look that up, but
okay,
20 to 30 doctors, and there are about 400 employees at the hospital. But it is one of the biggest employers in the county.
Yeah, definitely. I think aside from the mill, it's the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Mill may be smaller. I'm not certain of that. In recent weeks, there have been some headlines in the paper about Jefferson County Hospital and abortions. And from the medical side, I mean, I guess I'd just like you to explain a little bit what is going on. I had the impression that if one wanted an abortion, you couldn't have it at Jefferson Healthcare, although I couldn't really tell what the reasons were. Can you explain it?
Sure. And yeah, it's a really interesting topic that I'm excited has been brought up. Right now, if somebody in Jefferson County wants an abortion, they can call our office or come in to talk about it and whatever they want, and we will refer them on to a provider that does do abortions. The reason we refer on is because we just don't have anybody who does them right now. We don't have the system set up. We don't have the process set up. This ACLU question has been brought to our attention and given us an opportunity to really look at our systems and see, is it possible for us to provide this service? Just like any sort of specialty service, we have to look at our resources, what's available, can we do this, could we get somebody trained to do it, and what's the backup for it? So there isn't a policy that says we can't do it. It's just not anything we've done. And so this gives us an opportunity to explore that.
So is there a full-time OBGYN person in Jefferson County?
There isn't even a part-time OBGYN in the county. The hospital birthing center is staffed by family medicine doctors right now. And that's one of the major reasons. There isn't backup for anything that would go wrong.
So I guess even if someone is a high-risk pregnancy, would that person tend to be referred outside of Jefferson County?
Correct. We're just a low-risk facility. We're a critical access hospital, which means we're here to really serve the emergent, urgent needs of the community and provide the care that we can. But we don't have much specialty staff along those lines, and so we refer out when we need to.
Okay. From your perspective as a doctor, what if Jefferson County was to add some specialists, where do you see the biggest needs?
Well, they actually are looking for a gynecologist to add on to their staff. They've done projections and suspect that they could support a part-time gynecologist. Other areas, pain medicine is a big specialty that we lack and could do better on.
I see. Well, a little earlier we were talking about all the paperwork that you have to do or all the doctors have to do. Is there any thought for streamlining the process? Is there anything going on that might change this?
There is. Just next week, we have a consultant group coming in to work with the two clinics that are in our building, and they'll come back in a few months and work with a couple of the other clinics. Their primary goal is to improve the patient experience and the patient care by streamlining jobs, changing how we do things. They're going to shadow us and completely change how we see patients.
Well, that should be interesting. Have they done it elsewhere?
They have. I believe they've done this for 2,000 other clinics and mostly focusing on community health centers, which are in an urban setting, clinics that work with low-income folks or folks with lower insurance rates. So they fit in well here because we serve everybody, including people who struggle financially. And so they'll be able to help us manage pretty complicated social and medical situations in a better way that works better for the patient.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it works because I've noticed as a patient over the past decade or so, the doctors are more and more glued to their computers. They're sitting there typing away and, not as much looking at the patient as there used to be, or at least it appears that way.
That's so true. It's part of the system of getting all of the records on the computer has turned doctors in some sense into data entry people.
Yeah.
And so the hope with this system is to take some of that burden off. The patients might notice that the nurses or the roomers will be doing some of that computer work as they room the patient. And after the doctor's done in the room, you might have somebody coming into the room to help organize the referrals or set somebody up with a social worker or do some of the other work that perhaps some of us have been doing already, but we can take that off our plate so we can really just focus on the medicine.
Yeah, that would be much better. I mean, it seems almost criminal that you take a doctor who's done, you know, 10, 12 years of education to get there and, as you say, turn them into a data entry clerk. I mean, there's got to be a better system than that.
I think there are a lot of better systems out there, and I just feel fortunate that the hospital's taking this on. It's going to cost them some money to get this up and running, but there are better ways to do things. We all are ready for it.
Yeah. What do you see as the primary health issues in Jefferson County at the moment?
I was just part of a community health assessment looking at that. The primary problem that we found was access to mental health care. It's a problem across the country. There's a lack of psychiatrists in general, and we are no different here. The system for payment for mental health is very complicated and is a barrier for patients to get the care they need. So I think that's the primary area that we found.
It's interesting. And there's also still a stigma around mental health issues, like this recent tragic case of the German pilot who apparently crashed the plane. I mean, the implications are that he had mental health issues, but he didn't want anyone to know.
Right. And that's very true. Some of the solution to that is integrating some of the mental health care into regular clinics. And the hospital has just hired, along with Jefferson Mental Health, a psychiatrist that they'll share that who will be available for some appointments in our clinics to help prevent that stigma of going somewhere else for their care.
Yeah, somehow in our society there still is a stigma, which is unfortunate. Jefferson County has a statistically a fairly older population. Does that impact the practice here?
It does. We don't do very many deliveries, so yeah. We have about 110 babies delivered at our hospital every year. It slants the practice more towards the geriatrics.
So is there a geriatric specialist in Jefferson County?
There isn't right now. Most people, family medicine and internal medicine doctors, are trained in geriatrics but may not have that specialty extra year of care. I believe the hospital is looking for somebody right now, but I'm not sure. I know they're hiring for a few positions.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Improve things. We've been talking a lot about your professional life, but perhaps we could switch gears and talk a little bit about your personal life. You mentioned earlier that your husband and young baby went to New Zealand. Do you just have one child?
I have two daughters. They're 9 and 6.
I see. And your husband, what does he do?
So he is a computer consultant. He runs his own business helping people fix their Macintosh computers and teaching them how to use them. But he's mostly a child herder, he calls himself. And his schedule is quite flexible, which is very helpful because my hours are long.
Yeah, so I would think so. Parent. And what's his name and his company name?
Sure, Jim Emery, and his company's called Olaka Consulting.
Okay, and he specializes in Mac computers.
Right.
Okay, And he's a dad at the same time. Well, that's a good schedule then. He can consult and wrangle the herds of...
Exactly.
And you obviously chose to come to Port Townsend. Why did you pick Port Townsend, the two of you? What was appealing here?
We had been coming to Port Townsend almost yearly for the Sea Kayak Symposium, which used to happen here every fall. My husband was involved on the organizing committee for that, so we came out frequently. It's also the place where the UW medical students used to come for orientation, so we would come out to Fort Worden at the beginning of the school year, and it's where I met some of my best friends from medical school. We also got married out at Lake Crescent Lodge, so we've had a lot of connections to the peninsula, and we're hikers, we kayak. I built a pygmy kayak while I was in graduate school. So we had a lot of connections, and when my training was ending, I asked my husband where he would want to live. We'd spent so much time following my schedule around, I figured it was time for him to decide, and he said he'd like to live in Port Townsend. So we called.
And was there an opening immediately?
There wasn't. So, but I met with some of the doctors here, and they said, you know, we'll keep your number. And so I took a job in Bellingham, which is a lovely place to live as well. Mm-hmm. And the folks from Port Townsend called me about a year later and said, we have an opening now. And so we moved.
And so what year did you actually come here?
In 2010.
And if you were going to recommend to someone, if someone asked you, gee, I'm thinking about Port Townsend as a place to live, what's the good side and what's the bad side?
The good side, there are many good sides. The location is incredible. It's not too far from a big city. It's on the water. You have the mountains. There's great forests for the kids to run around in. The population is also a great draw. It's so eclectic, and it's drawn people from all over the world to come and retire here. But the folks who grew up here are lovely people as well, and it's just a comfortable place to live. We're also lucky. I don't know another small town like it that has similar arts and the movie theaters, and we have access to ballet classes for our kids. It's a unique blend of opportunities here.
Okay, well, believe it or not, we're just about out of time here.
Okay.
Thank you for being a guest on Our Town, Dr. Parker. Being a doctor is a noble profession, and in the computer age, it's a very complex one. The American medical system is obviously in the midst of great change. We're one of the last countries in the world without health care for all. Practitioners such as Dr. Parker are on the front lines, caught between the needs of their patients and the money-making mission of the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical industry. We aren't going to solve that today. But on behalf of patients, we're grateful to doctors such as Dr. Parker, who work so diligently to care for us. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. If you missed part of the show or want to tell someone else about it, the show will be available as a podcast for a couple of weeks after the broadcast. Go to our website, kptz.org. Look down the left side for podcast. Look for Our Town and click on it. And bingo, you can listen again. I'm Marianne McNellis. The show is Our Town, a show that features some of the weird and wonderful people who live and work in Port Townsend. Stay tuned to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic, local programming.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by Sonny Flores.